And anybody who's a teenager, you're made fun of, you're bullied, you know that you're not supposed to be that weight. People make it very obvious that it's not healthy for you. And, you know, you try to lose weight. Anybody who is unhappy with their weight has tried and failed probably multiple times. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. So it was very difficult.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope. Today's guest is Jewel Sweatman. Jewel is the owner of a healthy protein bar company, Sweet Fuel, based in Ventura, California. Jewel talks about growing up overweight and unhealthy before a year-long health scare in her 20s forced her to change her eating habits, and she started losing weight. Before she knew it, she was quitting her job, starting a nutrition company, and inspiring others through her story. It's incremental, marginal improvements over time that led her to the healthy life she now champions. If you enjoy the show, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review so more people can be encouraged by the stories we share. Now, here's the conversation with Jewel Sweatman. All right, got Jewel Sweatman on the Do Hard Things podcast. Super excited to have you and looking forward to hearing your story.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's give people some context for who you are. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, is when people ask you what you do, how do you answer that question?
I still don't think I know the best way to answer that question. I do get asked that all the time. I started my own protein bar company. Okay. So I make protein bars. My brand is called Sweet Fuel by Jewel. Wow. And the mission is to basically provide a better tasting, better for you, healthier ingredients protein bar. And then I also help run a meal prep company. Okay. I'm a fitness coach and a nutrition coach. So yeah, a little bit of everything.
a little bit of everything, but a lot of nutrition. So, did you always intend to do nutrition stuff?
No, definitely okay. Not. I don't think a 10-year-old me would have ever thought that would be a path for me, but here I am.
So, okay. Well, the next logical question is, well, how did 10-year-old me, who never thought that was the case, end up in the situation where you do a lot with nutrition coach, your own like protein bar company, and then also, you know, some of these other things that you dabble in with the other businesses?
Part of answering that is answering the question that you emailed.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you want me to just...
I don't know if I want you to answer it right now or not. Okay. I'll ask some other context questions and then I'll come right back to that question. So, let's talk about the protein bar thing. So you said it's better for you. It's less sugar, all those things. So, what about like a traditional, like for people who never given any thought to a protein bar, they think protein bar, oh, healthy for me. Like what makes a bad protein bar and what makes a good protein bar? What's the difference?
Well, I kind of challenge that thought because I don't think that people look at protein bars and think healthy. I think people look at protein bars and they think convenient and a good way to get protein in when I'm on the go. I don't think a lot of protein bars out there are healthy. I think they're essentially like just candy or.
They are really good a lot candy. Of the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make something that still tasted really good. So you're not sacrificing taste, but with better ingredients. I don't think that food should sit on a shelf for years and years and years and not go bad. And so I developed a bar that would be refrigerated. So it's preservative free and it's not sitting on a shelf somewhere. The ingredients are really clean. They're preservative free. They're gluten free and they're dairy free. I have one right here.
Yeah, you were prepared.
it's going to be my snack after this.
Oh, okay.
And Also, a lot of bars are made with like really low quality protein. So it's whatever's cheap, basically. So milk proteins or whey, which is a lot of times most people have a hard time digesting whey. So I developed a collagen and egg white blend bar. So you're getting all the benefits of collagen while also getting a mix of the egg white protein, which is a really high quality protein. And you still get a complete amino acid profile with a bar, which sometimes can be lacking when you're just getting a collagen protein bar. Mm. So to check all those boxes, basically develop something that I would want, not just because it tastes good, but because of what's in it, but also as a nutrition coach, I wanted to be able to give that to my clients and be like, hey, eat this and feel good about recommending that. Not like, hey, you should only eat this when you're desperate or when you're really busy. This is something that you could have every day and I would feel great about you doing that.
Yeah. So did you have to like dive into all the science behind, you know, this protein and that protein, or keeping it refrigerated or not refrigerated? Like, those are really basic concepts. Obviously, I'm not a scientist, so I couldn't recommend any higher level vocabulary than that. But did you have to like go to self-school to understand that stuff, or did you already have a good context?
I think I already had a really good base just from what I've learned myself over time. And it was funny when I was kind of coming up with the recipes, I was thinking, well, what if I did this or what if I did that? And then I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do that because of this. And I kind of already had the answers to my questions in the back of my head. And then of course, over time, just developing a trial and error, a lot of mistakes, a lot of having to kind of pick myself up and keep going with it. Over time, basically just learning, and then obviously a lot of research and getting my PhD in YouTube that we like to
call it. Everybody's got one in something. Yeah. Exactly. I was going to say, thank goodness for Google. So one of the same at this point.
Google is.
Yeah. Clutch. Thank you to Google for Sweet Fuel by Jewel. So what, you've got your protein bar. How many different kinds do you have? How many flavors?
So we have 5 flavors. Right now I am sold out of 2. And then, so good, we will be, we will be relaunching those 2 flavors plus a 3rd. So I will have 6 flavors.
Wow. And then what plans of expansion do you have, if you have any? Maybe you kind of like hit, this is it, this is the business, or do you have other stuff that you're working on?
Well, I want to do snacks, like other snacks, not just bars. So I'm working on a couple of different treats that you can have that wouldn't just be a bar, because I have a sweet tooth and I like protein desserts just like anybody else. And so I think I can develop some really great tasting things that are still aligned with my mission. And then I also want to do my own protein powder. So we're developing that as well. And then I want to kind of ramp it up with merch and shirts and things like that too. So
let people rep it. Yeah. Wear their passion, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got some plans, and snacks are the ticket, man. So do you have bars like at your disposal at all times?
Actually I have a hard time making enough.
Really?
That's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
Which I love that. I love that I make, you know, hundreds of bars, and then by like 3 days later, they're all gone. Like, I think that's amazing. And it just kind of pushes me to keep going. So I think if I was sitting on product, then I'd be like, oh man, you know, what am I doing? But I'm constantly having to make more and more. So
are you making them?
I'm still in the kitchen. And then I also have a couple of employees that are so important to me. They help me out every single week, and they're so reliable and a huge part of Sweet Fuel. So it's not just me, but I am still seeing everything and overseeing everything, making sure it's all, you know, up to standard and getting packaged correctly and all of that.
Wow, I have so many other fun questions that I want to ask you, but you really left me hanging there with my first question, which was, how did this even come about? And so we're just going to go there. I'm going to trust that I can ask those other questions at some point. But So I'm just going to ask the question. We're just going to go for it. So the central point being, let's encourage some people in the hard season, and let's do that through people's stories of their own hard seasons and how they grew from them. And the way that we decided to do that was ask this question, which is, what is the hardest thing in your life that you wouldn't take back?
I believe the hardest thing that I've been through that I would not take back because of where I'm at as a repercussion of that, would be my weight loss. So I lost, I'm a very short woman. I'm like 4'10".
Oh, and, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at my heaviest, I was about 236 pounds. That was the documented highest weight that I've been able to find.
Yeah.
So I've lost about, at my lowest, I've lost about 115 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
If you enjoy the podcast, please do us a favor and head to your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. It helps a ton. And there's a reason all the podcasts you listen to ask you to do this. We want to continue to encourage people in the middle of their difficult seasons, and your ratings help boost our podcast visibility and the stories of our guests. Did you pause it and leave a review? If so, thank you. All right. Back to our conversation. Yeah. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about why that was hard. Like, and why, I mean, I think people might assume why you wouldn't take that back, because it's like a healthier step, but you know, you said because of the repercussion. So I'm curious what you meant by that. Before we do that, what made it hard?
Well, most people who have that much weight to lose, especially when you're, because I was big as a child. So I started gaining weight like around 5 or 6, and then just progressively got heavier and heavier as a young adult, and then even into my early 20s. And anybody who's a teenager, you're made fun of, you're bullied, you know that you're not supposed to be that weight. People make it very obvious that it's not healthy for you. And, you know, you try to lose weight. Anybody who is unhappy with their weight has tried and failed probably multiple times. Like it's not an easy thing to do. So it was very difficult for me to even try to lose weight in the first place, much less actually like keep it off.
Yeah.
And then in my early 20s, I ended up having health issues. I was in a lot of pain and just constantly going to the emergency room, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. So that was a really difficult time for me. Like we thought that maybe I had some kind of rare disease or gallstones or some kind of issue, but I would get physically so sick that I couldn't go to work. I was vomiting constantly, couldn't sit down, in so much pain. And it took them over a year to even figure out what it was. But after being, you know, a year of like chronic pain, and you're trying everything that you can to figure it out, and plus you're getting sick,
yeah.
You start to change your diet a little bit because food doesn't taste good. You're tired of feeling sick. You're thinking, well, if it's gallstones, maybe I need to cut out this for my diet or this for my diet. If I eat this, I get sick. So maybe it's this. And so I really cleaned up my diet, and that really helped with my weight, but I wasn't feeling any better physically. So I was still getting sick. I was still in a ton of pain. And then finally somebody asked for the right test. One of the doctors asked for the right test that was able to determine what it actually was. It turns out I had kidney stones.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
So coming from a family who, you know, we would wake up in the morning and you'd have soda with breakfast. Didn't really prioritize water, didn't prioritize the right foods, eating a lot of salt, eating a lot of sugar, a lot of starches, and to boot, a lot of soda. I wasn't well hydrated at all. And I believe that is what caused my kidney stones. But when they finally figured it out, I had the procedure. They actually had to go in with a laser and demolish the stones, and I had to pass them.
With the laser, like, pew, pew.
I guess. I was asleep.
Yeah, you probably don't know. I would ask so many questions about what they're doing with the laser, but yeah.
It wasn't fun.
No kidding.
But yeah, so thankfully they figured that out. I'm so grateful that I actually got answers, because I know, you know, sometimes people don't get answers. And by that point, I'd already dropped like 40, 50 pounds. And I was like, wow, I've never been this successful at being able to lose weight. And I had already kind of, my taste buds had changed. I'd already kind of developed a new love of cooking, because I was afraid to eat out. I was afraid to eat any kind of dairy, any kind of fattening food. So I was eating a lot of things that I made myself, and it was very clean and very simple. And I just fell in love with like cooking simple and clean and healthy for myself. And I was like, wow, I've already dropped this much weight. I can keep doing this. And I felt better. I felt more confident. I felt like I actually felt like I could start something and see it through. And so, yeah, I kind of developed this love for healthy food, and then that developed into working out. And I was waking up at 5 a.m. and doing little workouts in my garage, like the Jillian Michaels videos,
yeah,
whatever I could to kind of move my body. And it developed over time. I ended up joining a gym and meeting other people that cared about fitness and eating healthy. And that's how community is born, right?
Right. Totally. Shared interests. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so it sounds like, you know, outside of the like health issue that, you know, kind of was a catalyst for this, it was like marginal, small changes that like along the way, as you were like trying to figure out what was wrong, you know, you're like, well, maybe it's this, and you changed it. Maybe it wasn't like you just went like and blew up the whole thing and start. It was like little changes that, you know, over time, as you added them all together, ended up in a big change and a significant shift, right? Because then you started working out after you'd already adjusted your diet. And so I think I want to talk about that, because I think a lot of times we, you know, we just came out of New Year's, people think I've got to change everything to accomplish some goal or objective. And, you know, it's not sustainable. And it feels it feels insurmountable, like the amount of things that people have tried to bite off. But I want to go back before we do that and talk about, you know, like you said, 5 or 6 years old was when you like started to feel like you weren't healthy, essentially. But when was it, when did you become aware that like, hey, I'm overweight and this is a problem? Like, because I kind of want to talk about the young, like kid experience of being overweight and what that's like. Because I don't think a lot of like, you know, I'm a parent, and I'm curious what a child's perspective on that was, and like how aware of it you are. Like how, like are kids actively aware, and at what age do they become really aware of it? And so for you, could you just talk a little bit about that?
I'm sure for most people, like it's hard to look back and really remember what you, like what your perspective was when you were that young.
Yeah.
No, just from looking back at photos. I remember seeing photos of me playing soccer, and I'm like 4 or 5, and I look like all the other kids. And then all of a sudden you're looking at like 6-year-old Jewel, and you know, she's looking bigger. And then every year after that, I'm looking at photos of myself, and I'm like, wow, I just got like a little bit bigger every year, a little bit bigger every year. So looking back, I'm looking as an adult and I can see it, but I don't think I recognized it when I was a kid. The first memory that pops in my head when you ask that question is, you know, when you start to hit puberty, that's when you're getting a little bit more self-conscious. You know, you're wanting to notice the opposite sex, or, you know, what have you. And you're noticing your body more, your body's changing more, you're more aware of your own body. And I remember going over to my mom's best friend's house, and her husband was like a personal chef at the time. And I just remember him making a comment about, you know, I can cook healthy meals for your daughter. Maybe that will help her lose weight. And I'm sure at the time he was just trying to help and trying to just, you know, do something nice for someone. And I remember just feeling so upset about it and feeling so insulted. And I'm just a young teenager, like not even a teenager. I was probably like 12. And yeah. I think comments like that were what hurt the most. And then, you know, kids making comments, going to PE class and not being able to keep up with the other kids and wanting to wear baggy clothing was a huge. I remember seeing photos of me going to Disney World for my birthday, and I was wearing shorts, but then this giant sweatshirt, and Florida was really hot. It was during the summer, and my face is beet red because I'm so hot, but I off the sweatshirt because I was so embarrassed and I just didn't want anybody to be able to see my body. Literally putting yourself in an even more uncomfortable situation just because you don't want people to see you. So those are the things that I kind of remember, you know, young kid, feeling self-conscious and feeling really uncomfortable in my body, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like it kicked off, you know, when you were a little bit older and you became more aware of like what people thought of you physically. Cause I think little kids maybe think, what do they think of me? Am I like fun to play with? You know, but like this, it's a little bit more shallow of like the layers that are involved in trying to understand people's opinions and thoughts. And it's amazing, you know, like just that story, the power of people's words, like, you know, to your point, he probably didn't mean anything. He wasn't trying to insult you and saying it, but like our words really matter. And like, we have to be cautious with them and thoughtful. And yeah. So thanks for sharing the story. So then, okay. You became aware of this, lived with it, and then got sick. And you said that was in your 20s when you got sick.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was a year long process. And then how long ago was that? Like, you know, the catalyst moment, you got sick, something had to change to, I'm going to do something with nutrition for like a job. And now, cause that was the question, you know, like, hey, how did you get from 10-year-old, I would never do anything with nutrition, to, you know, all these things with nutrition?
Well, after I lost the majority of my weight, I was actually working in an office. I was there for 10 years.
Okay.
And I got really good at my job. I feel like I became an expert in my field. And
what were you doing?
I was an optician.
Okay.
An optical office. And I was a part of the gym culture, and I was into fitness. And one day, one of the coaches approached me and asked me if I wanted to be a coach and if I was interested in coaching other people. And my reaction, I was like, me? you think I should be a coach?
Yeah.
And I was definitely very humbled by that. And I felt like there's no way that, like, why would anybody want to be coached by me? And honestly, like, after I lost my weight and I got into fitness, I never told anybody that I was overweight. It is not something that I talked about. I kind of wanted the old part of me, the old Jewel. I wanted to put her in a closet and lock it away. And I didn't want people to know about it because I wanted them to recognize me for who I am now. And not, I thought that by talking about it, it was me showing like a weakness. And I thought people would look at me differently. And so I never talked about it. And then I guess I realized that people saw that as a strength, to be able to, you know, overcome that and to build a lifestyle off of eating healthy and working out. And so after I was approached to a coach, I started training to do it. And next thing you know, like after building my confidence, I actually really loved it. And I've always loved helping people and training people and teaching people. And that was, it ended up being my outlet for that. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of training to, we call it an internship. So training to become a coach. And right in the middle of my training, COVID hit and everything shut down. And I still continued to be a part of the community. And we were doing the Zoom workouts and I was still learning, running classes, doing what I could, went and got my certification. And I was also, I've loved to cook and I love to bake. And I would make these extravagant, not healthy at all. Loads of sugar, loads of butter.
Ooh, that sounds great though.
I would make like, you know, cakes for people's birthdays. I always loved to make cookies and cupcakes and you name it. I always loved to bake. And I was doing that kind of on the side while I was working at the office and training to be a coach. There was just something about it. As much as I loved doing it, I didn't like that I was feeding people so much sugar. As much as I love giving somebody a cake and them, you know, telling me how yummy it was and how much they love it and their look on their face when they first see it, it just didn't feel right to me.
But I'm slowly killing you.
Yeah. You know what? I'm all about balance. You know, treat yourself to something and enjoy the hell out of it. But I just didn't want to, it wasn't like a business for me. I didn't want to sell that to people. I wanted to sell something that I felt really proud of and I could really get behind. And so I was like, well, why don't I just replace everybody's dessert with like a protein dessert? So I started slinging protein bars and, well, not protein bars. At first it was like protein cookies and little protein balls. I would bring them in to the gym on the weekends and try to sell them. And I got like a really good response and people were actually interested in buying them. And then there was a demand for them. And it kind of slowly turned into a business. And that's kind of where it took off. Yeah.
Wow. So what prompted, like, did you always want to have your own business and be an entrepreneur, or like, where did that first kind of like desire to like, I'm going to sell these to people? Where did that come from?
To be honest with you, like I don't think I would even be as far as I am now if I didn't have so many amazing people to mentor me and to just surround myself with. I'm definitely a firm believer in you definitely take on influence from the people that are around you. And I am very blessed to have some amazing friends that have been successful in business that are there for me whenever I have a question or maybe need a little bit of a pick me up because I'm down that day and a little bit of guidance. There's a friend of mine who approached me one day and he's like, you need to turn this into something. It can be something. And his wife actually was running a meal prep company at the time. And she was having her first baby and needed help. And I was like, I love to cook. Do you guys need help? And he's like, well, you can't coach, can't work your office job, do sweet fuel and do meal prep. He's like, there's no way. And I was like, well, what if I left my job? And so we entertained that and I ended up, it was such a hard thing to do because it was scary. But I don't know, I had the support at home and I had the support of my friends and it just felt right. And so I took that leap and I gave my office job. I was there for 10 years. I gave them a month's notice and I said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And it was really scary, really hard. And I didn't know if I was going to actually be able to survive and do it. But I don't know. I kind of felt like I'd already been through so much. And I realized that the more I shared my story, the more I felt like I was inspiring other people and I was actually inspiring myself. Mm. And so I did it and I left my job. And so that's kind of where 10-year-old me got from there to here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing the story. So I got, well, a couple more questions off of that, but the first one, when you were telling people at your, you know, your optician job, hey, I'm leaving and this is why, and this is what I'm doing. Like, and then maybe even your family or people that were involved in your life, like, what were the things that people said to you in the transition? Like, great idea, super excited for you. Ooh, I don't know. Like, did you feel like people were in your corner, or did it cause some hesitation?
Well, so to be completely transparent, I wasn't transparent at that time. I was very much like, I knew who wasn't going to support me, and I knew who was. And so some people, I didn't tell them everything that I was doing. I just kind of said, I need this, this, and this, and I'm not going to get that here. Like, I'm going to go back to school, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this on the side. To be honest, I was not fully transparent with everybody about it, because I just knew that they weren't going to be supportive, and I didn't need their support, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like you kind of have to tell everybody why you're doing something. You don't need to justify it. It's just, I'm going to do this, and that's kind of how it is. But my family supported me. I was transparent there. My boyfriend supported me, and I was very transparent there. And of course my community, my fitness community, was a huge support system for me. Yeah. So, there was definitely people who talked, they're like, you're crazy. What are you doing? My boss at the time had called me into his office like a week before I was supposed to leave and try to talk me out of it.
Super helpful.
Yeah, very helpful. Especially when, I spent a lot of time making sure that that position was set up for the next person. And I'm like, I already did all this work. Like, I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Yeah. Yep. The ship has sailed, good sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me too, a lot of the people who tried to stop me, or not stop me, but kind of give me pushback on it, were the only reasons that they were giving me to not do it were financial reasons. And I just saw it as so much more of an opportunity than that. It wasn't about the money for me. It was about trying something and not regretting never doing it in the first place. I could, 5 years from now, I could have made all of this money, if I would have stayed at my job, that I could potentially miss out on. But 5 years from now, if I hadn't done it, would I be sitting here going like, why didn't I at least try?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you hear people say it a lot. You don't want to like go through life and end it with a bunch of regrets. Like, you want to like try and fit it better to try and fail than to like go through life and have all these regrets. So sounds like you would agree with that. Even just, you're on the other side of it now, but even in that moment, it was like, well, I got to find out. Like, I have this desire. I've got to find out what's in store.
Well, and I'm a firm believer in, you get out of life what you put into it. And it's like, if I do work hard and I give it my all, like I feel like I made for great things. And if I don't do well, then I tried it, and I'm going to learn so much and grow so much from it. And oh my gosh, I feel like I've grown so much as a person just in the last couple of years. So,
I want to ask you about that in a minute. So, but before I do, Jewel, I'm curious, because you talked about hiding, like the old Jewel kind of in the closet, didn't want people to know that because you thought it'd be a weakness. What was the moment where you realized that's not the case? Because I agree with you. I'm a big proponent of like vulnerability is like powerful for people, because everybody's got something that they're holding on to that they maybe feel shame for, or they feel is a weakness. And to have, somebody else raise their hand and say like, me too, all of a sudden, like when you bring something out of the darkness or out of the closet into the light, it gets smaller for one. It doesn't feel as like significant as maybe as it felt when it was hidden. But two, it's like, people can resonate with that and go, oh, your story is something that maybe I could do that, and there's like this power in transformation? Well, because everybody's trying to grow and everybody's transforming. So what was the moment for you where you had that kind of like switch flip from, oh, this is actually a really valuable thing to share with people?
I think I actually have a few examples for that, because they all kind of hit me in different ways. One of them is really personal with my mom. My mom is a huge advocate for me. My mom, she was a single parent. And so we grew up, I feel like we grew up together because she was young. Yeah. She was kind of like a sister to me. But after I had lost the majority of my weight and then I got into CrossFit and I started getting into that community, my mom actually texted me one day and told me that she joined she started doing CrossFit. And my whole family, we were all overweight. And so for my mom to all of a sudden want to get inspired by me and wanting to work out and eat healthier, she would text me and be like, I dropped 10 more pounds. Now I'm at 40 pounds lost. And so to feel like I inspired her to do it. And then to hear how from other people, how she talks about me to them, mm-hmm. that was huge for me. And I was like, wow, like I'm inspiring my mom, but still like that's another human that you're inspiring and your mom looks up to you. Like that was huge for me.
Yeah.
Then I also think nutrition coaching was big for me too. Cause I met a lot of people who didn't even know where to start, needed guidance. And I think sometimes just talking to somebody who, you know, has been where you've been, and can just be that person who maybe doesn't just give you guidance and tells you what you should be doing, but can be like, yeah, like I know exactly how you feel right now. I've been there. And this is what I've tried. And having that extra, I'm trying to think of the right word, but that extra kindness and gentleness to be able to be understanding. I think that was huge for me to be able to provide that for people.
And you could only do that when they knew where you'd come from.
Exactly. And I think I would have conversations and then, I wouldn't divulge that right away, but then all of a sudden I would say that, or I would be able to be like, oh yeah, I understand what that is. And they're like, you do. And we would dive more into it. And I could see how the relationship changes and shifts just from that. And not only that, but their receptiveness to me was like, oh, okay. If I share more about myself, then that's me being vulnerable. And then they feel more comfortable being vulnerable back with me. It's, you know, it's a give and take.
It's contagious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Cause one thing that's so interesting when you have some kind of position of influence, there's this temptation to like hide your weaknesses that, I just always want to, it's hard. Like I fall into this all the time, but like, I always want to push against it because to your point, like you gained influence or a greater like voice into people's lives when your weakness was visible. And it just like always seems to be the case in whatever circumstance or situation. You know, we're talking about weight loss right now, but like it could be a myriad of things. And but like if the lie that I think people believe a lot of times is if I share my weakness, I lose my influence. You know, like all of a sudden I'm like discredited in their mind. When reality is almost always like your influence increases. It just doesn't make sense logically, right? A lot of the time in our minds. And so it's so cool that like, you know, as you were able to practice that, like it did resonate with people and your influence, you know, and your ability to help them and coach them and guide them and lead them increased through like what felt like not a strength, you know, which is so fun. That's so fun.
That's not something you realize until you start doing it. And then you actually, it's, it's a way to actually get true human connection. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, you know, social media is such a, you paint a picture of what you want people to see you as. Whereas instead, if you're kind of more honest and more transparent, then they get to choose what they can relate to you on. Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge component.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So let's go back forward now to the end and talk about, like, you know, this is the hardest thing that you wouldn't take back. And I'm curious, like, not only did you grow in your health, but like, how else have you grown in going through this transition and process of, you know, being sick, losing weight, and now having to be intentional? I'm sure you're very intentional day to day. It's not like you can just like, I've done it. Now this is the way I live. Like, you still have to make intentional decisions. How do you apply what you've learned, and what did you learn through that process?
Well, I think a huge component was broadening my palate, because food is huge. Like, it's not just exercise. You can never exercise your way out of a bad diet. Like, that's a common saying. Everybody, I feel like most people know that now. So I think for me, it was falling in love with healthy food. I was the kid where we would go to like a Italian restaurant and I ordered chicken nuggets. Like, I was so afraid to try new things. And I, you know, lived off of frozen meals and things like that. And so, I think for me, falling in love with cooking was huge for me. And that was something that I learned. And that's something that I carry into my day to day. And now I cook for other people. I have the pleasure of doing that and making a business out of it.
Yeah.
There are people though who don't like to cook, and that's totally, and that's why we have meal prep and we're able to help other people. But I would say creating a good relationship with food is something that I learned, and I will carry that on with me the rest of my life.
Mm. Yeah. And so then from the job stuff, like that transition and being super afraid of what's going to come, is this a wise choice? Like, not sure if you're going to have the financial resources to sustain it, all those questions that I'm sure you walk through in that process. Like, what did you learn? And then how do you apply it now?
I learned the difference between being an employee and being a self-starter, entrepreneur, totally. I no longer trade hours for dollars. Now I have to delegate my time and look for ways to buy more time. And figure out what is essential for me to get done. And then what can I have my team members do for me so that I have time to do the things that only I can do. So that was a huge transition for me. I was so used to just clocking in and clocking out, and, you know, how many hours did I work? Okay, I know how much my paycheck is going to be. And now my paycheck is based off of, you know, how many sales did I do this week? Am I going to get paid, or are my employees going to get paid? That kind of a thing. And so that was a huge thing to learn, and a huge process. And I'm still learning. I'm still very much a small business and growing and learning every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else is different between being an employee and, you know, you said self-starter, but being the business almost, right? Like, you know, you have a couple employees now, but probably when you started, it was just you, I would imagine. And what is, like, for maybe somebody who's listening to this, who's thinking about doing this very thing, like quitting their job and starting, and they don't realize there's a big change. Like, what would be something you tell them? Like, hey, just know that this is going to happen. And some advice that you might give somebody about that difference.
That is such a great question. I would say, I think from what the kind of advice that I have more is keeping your mental clarity. It's really easy to take in what other people are saying as the truth and as the word. And if you don't keep your mental state clean and clear and surround yourself with people who are like-minded, it's very easy to build that toxicity within yourself and within your team. So I would say constantly developing yourself. So listening to books, knowing that you still have more to learn, not taking things too hard. And especially a big thing for me was, I would get these roadblocks and something like telling me like, hey, stop, or hey, you need to slow down a little bit. Not taking those as like huge emergency breaks, right? Instead of thinking like, oh my gosh, I need to slow down or I need to stop. How can I get around this? And how can I make this work in my favor? I feel like I kind of went off on a tangent. I'm sorry.
Well, you're answering the question. So keep going if you got more thoughts. Yeah.
I think of like, what was a huge like thing that was hard for me. And one of the big things for me was that I kept having things happen that I feel like most people would have stopped and would have given up. And there was many times where I sat there and I was like, I'd have this epiphany and I'm just like, you know, this is the moment where all these different businesses that started in somebody's head, they started them. And as soon as this moment happened, they gave up. And that's why this business never came to fruition. And so my biggest advice would be like, when those moments come, take a breath, realize that it's just a moment. Your business can live on past this. It might need to pivot. It might need to change. Your mental might need to change. Keep your mind healthy. Keep your team healthy. Keep the toxicity away from yourself. You can keep going, and don't stop just because you feel like you have a roadblock and because it gets hard. Because there's days where it's very hard, and you're just, you feel like throwing in the towel, but
it'd be easier to quit.
Yeah, but just keep pushing. You'll learn so much from it. Most things that seem hard, you can work through. And that's kind of where, like I was saying earlier, I feel very blessed that I have an amazing support system and friends to turn to that can give me advice and to kind of basically throw my advice right back in my face every once in a while. So,
yeah. Yeah. I got to imagine there are hundreds of things that you can't foresee.
Yeah.
That come up in the way. And it would be easier to quit. But I'm curious if you would say this is true, that the vision or the purpose that you had for what you were doing was greater than the resistance. Like, it was worth the cost, so to speak, to keep pushing forward.
Yeah. And I think for me too, because my the product that I'm selling, I get to meet so many amazing people that tell me how much they love it. And I think that is a huge component for me to keep going. If I didn't get to meet people who are actually consuming my product and tell me how much they love it. And every time I walk into certain rooms now, I'm not just Jewel, I'm Sweet Fuel by Jewel. Like it's an energy that's contagious. And yeah. I think if I didn't have that, that would be really hard.
Yeah. Well, and that's just even a good word for, I think, anybody in business. You know, like our company, we sell jump ropes, and there are people in our company who are detached from the customer. And so they don't get to experience the value that's being provided. And it's hard. Like it feels like it can get really monotonous and it can get really purposeless when you can't like see the end result and the value that was driven from, you know, what you made, created, sold, marketed, whatever your role was, and then the end user. And it's like, you know, what you just said, Jewel, is like, you have to have that feedback and an attachment to your customer to be like able to see the value that you're creating, or it just becomes like a job. Like anything can just become a job, but the true like meaning in the work is like what it do for the end user, right?
Yeah. And I think being able to look back at, like we were talking about earlier, at 10-year-old me versus me now, I'm able to easily identify how I've grown. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for being able, I know I have so much more to do and so much more to grow, but I'm so grateful for you know, when I was a teenager, I was overweight. I had social anxiety. I was afraid to talk to people. I was the most shy person you could ever meet. To now, I walk into a room and I want to get to know every single person.
Yeah.
And I love that. A huge aspect of this is I get to network with so many other business owners and I get to meet so many different people every day. And I would have been terrified of that. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm still, I'm human. When my cup is full, I'm done, but I love meeting new people. And when I meet somebody new, I think of, you know, how can I help you? How can we help each other? Who can I introduce you to that you need in order to move on to like the next level of whether it's your business or your life, or like, who can I connect you with? And I hope other people, when they meet me, they think the same way. And because I think that it's huge. It's a huge part of the community and it's a huge part of growing is realizing you don't know everything. You don't know everyone and we can all help each other.
Yeah, that's a good word. Okay, so to put a bow on our conversation for now, I ask everybody this at the end of the podcast, because hard things are just a part of life. And, you know, we have these really significant ones that shape the trajectory. And then there's others that are just like part of our growth. And so for you, what's a hard thing that you're in the middle of right now?
Well, my business is at a stage where there's so many moving components between packaging and getting into grocery stores and getting enough product made and sourcing ingredients and things like that. I think a really hard thing for me right now is being able to delegate time to the business while still having time for myself. So that is a huge thing for me right now. I feel like my workout routine is not what it used to be. I don't have a lot of time to cook my food anymore, and so thank God I work with a meal prep company. Snacks. I literally developed these products for myself because I live off of them daily. But so I feel like balance. It's not even balance. It's a hard thing for me right now is just trying to figure out my schedule so that I can really crush it in my business while still being able to, you know, work out and eat healthy, and I'm doing it. I just need to figure out my schedule.
It's just not fully refined yet. It's a work in progress.
Exactly.
Yeah. Know that it probably always will be to some degree, right?
Well, luckily I don't have kids yet, so yeah. I feel for the moms out there.
Yeah, if that's on your radar, just know that that'll throw a wrench in things real quick.
Yes.
But I'm sure you're already aware of that. So life is, I mean, that's part of what's fun about life, right? Is that things change, like seasons come and seasons go, and we have to reorient ourselves every time. So, to your credit, like you're being intentional, like you're aware of where your time's going and trying to use it wisely. So I love that phrase you used earlier too, buy your time, like buy more time.
Yes.
And, you know, I talked to somebody, her name was Jen Drummond. She's an entrepreneur, a single mom of like 7 kids. She's climbing mountains all over the world. I don't know how she has time to do anything, to be honest. But like that's what she talked a lot about too, is that idea of like, okay, what do I need to outsource? Like essentially, and you know, being intentional, like where is my time best used? So hard question to answer in practicality.
Yeah.
But okay, for people who want to stay in touch with you, or maybe they want to get themselves some sweet fuel by Jewel, like how do they get connected with you? Where can they find your stuff? Just best places for people to follow up.
Well, I am just like everybody else. I'm on social media. So Instagram, I'm definitely pretty active on that. And our handle on that is Get Sweet Fuel. So just GET Sweet Fuel. And then my website is getsweetfuel.com.
Awesome.
So you can order bars on the website, and we ship. So I can ship bars anywhere in the U.S. And TikTok. If you really want to get entertained by some of my acting skills, I'm on TikTok.
I definitely want to. That sounds awesome. Is it also Get Sweet Fuel?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'll put all that in the show notes for people just so that it's there in perpetuity. But you know, they can grab it off of here too. So Jewel, thank you for hopping on and being willing to share some of your story, and super encouraged and excited for your business. It sounds like things are going really well and growing, and I hope that you guys can continue to see some success.
Thank you. Definitely got some cool things coming out, so
we'll keep an eye out.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you are encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/ElitesRS. Have a blessed day.